This is what he does. This is who he is. It is this Savior that the Apostle Paul writes here as he has these concerns in Colossians 2. That he wants them to be encouraged. He wants them to be knit together. He wants them to grab hold of, to lay hold of all that they have in Jesus Christ. That they might understand the full assurance. They might have this full understanding. That they might know this mystery of God, both the Father and Christ. Remember, the mystery revealed was what? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So that they might understand the connection they have with God. They might understand the union that has been accomplished with God through Jesus Christ. The union that he has made possible. My friends, may God open your eyes. Do not live in the dark on these things. Do not carry on as if, you know, sometimes I've seen stickers on the back of cars or people saying this. The only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is one's forgiven and one's not. Well, that's a big difference. Isn't it? But it's not the only difference. Oh, if that's the only difference, then my character hasn't been changed. Then I'm not living a different life. Then I don't have a relationship with Jesus that causes me to wake up in the morning with him, that causes me to be able to go to sleep at night praying as I go to sleep that God will do something and bring blessing and peace and presence and knowing and waking up in the morning saying God answers prayer. God answers prayer. To knowing the comfort and the peace and the joy and the mercy and the grace that he pours into our lives every single day. It's far more than just being forgiven. Listen, Christianity is not just being delivered from something negative. It is being brought into something positive. Amen? It's not just the taking away. Thank God that he takes away our sin. Thank God that he takes those things away. But oh, he doesn't leave a vacuum behind because he fills that vacuum with himself. The fullness of the knowledge of both the Father and the Son. The full assurance of understanding. There is much to be found in Jesus Christ. You have not exhausted all there is to know. As we started in this book, we said, go deeper. And I say it again, go deeper. Begin to grasp more of the fullness of being with and in Jesus Christ. Because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now notice that the word says, hidden. Hidden. Why does it say hidden? I'm sorry?
You have to dig for them.
Yes, you have to dig for them. It is the ones who came and asked. Remember when Jesus spoke the parable of the sower? And the disciples came and said, explain this to us. And he said, it's for you to know the mystery, the things of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For those who are without, they don't understand it. But it's because they came and asked. It's because they were willing to seek, because they were looking for more. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. It's hidden to the world, but it is revealed to the church of God. And I've said this over and over again, and I will say it again tonight. You can have as much of God as you want. How much do you want? You can have as much as you want. How much do you pursue? How willing are you to go deeper? Are you going to stay on the surface of things? And if you stay on the surface, that's all you'll have. Because they're hidden. But I'll tell you what, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. And you know, there's two words that are used here. First, there's wisdom and knowledge. Why is there two words? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? I've asked this before. Now you know the answer, right? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Wisdom is knowledge applied.
Yes. Wisdom is knowledge applied. There's a lot of educated fools around. There's a lot of people that have a lot of learning, but they got no common sense at all. You've met them. You've had to deal with them in life. And sometimes it's you or me, where we think we know a lot, but we aren't applying it. But in Christ are hidden not only truths, because anybody can learn some truths from the Bible, but there's the wisdom to see what is really being said. And there's the taking of what's really being said and it being applied to your life. That's God's plan. You know, they study the Bible in universities. And professors have courses on theology in universities. But sadly, many of them don't have a foggy clue of who Jesus really is. And so they teach truths from the Bible, but have no understanding of what they really mean. But God reveals them to those who are willing to look. Without that, absolutely. And how can I have the Spirit of God? Well, first I got to humble myself. I have to understand. I have to come to Christ. And as I do, the Spirit of God prompts me and causes me to see. Be yielded, my friends, to the Lord. You see, the Colossian church, with all that they had, and they had the gospel, and they had heard the gospel, and they had responded to the gospel, but they were getting sidetracked, and so can you, and so can I. I've been sidetracked many times in my Christianity. I can get sidetracked halfway through a day. I can lose a half a day of not walking with the Lord, being sidetracked by something other than Jesus. But all friends, go deeper with God. May I encourage you with all my heart and soul, no matter how busy life is, no matter what it is that you've got on your plate, go deeper with God. You will not be disappointed as you go deeper with Him. You will discover there is more treasure there than you thought. Far more. You've not exhausted that treasure. You've not plumbed the depths of who Jesus is. You could never do it. And so you'll go deeper and deeper, and then it'll be deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper that you go, the more humble you'll become. Not vain, proud, puffed up. Not when it's a knowledge with wisdom and love. Because you see, those three words are woven in here. We see love, we see knowledge, understanding, we see wisdom and knowledge. We see these words because they all must interact together. Take out the love and that there's no wisdom. There won't be any wisdom without love. There won't be any true knowledge. It will be a knowledge that won't get any farther than your gray matter, and that's the end of it. And he writes these things for a purpose. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. There are people that can make pretty persuasive arguments about all kinds of things. There are people that are very good at arguing, but that doesn't mean there's something real, there's nothing true about it. He says, though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul's not saying all is lost here. He's not saying that there's no hope here. Matter of fact, he's saying you're doing well, but I want you to continue to do well. You're responding well. You're seeing things as they are. And I'm not with you there now, but oh, in my heart, in my soul, I'm right there with you. It's a funny thing, you know, being out there in Alberta and us being away for a Sunday. When I'm away for a Sunday, you know how often my thoughts come back to here? Do you know what I'm thinking about when the service is on here? I'm thinking about what you guys are doing. And I though I'm absent in the flesh, I am with you in spirit. That's the way I feel when the Shetty Camp service is on, when the service is on up here. I want to be in two places. And I've tried that, but it just can't quite get there yet. And that's where Paul says, my heart, even though I've never, actually had never met these people, still he says, I'm with you. I'm with you and I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Why? Because there were people who were bringing the message back to them, how the church was doing. You see, when Paul writes to the Colossian church or any of the churches, you never hear him say this. I'm so glad that your church is so full that it's bursting at the doors. You don't find that. You don't ever see him writing that. He said, this is exciting. What's happening that your church is growing so fast and so rapid. That's not that he doesn't want that, okay? But what he wants is quality, not just quantity. Right? So what does he write? He writes, I want to see your steadfastness, your good order, your faith in Christ. The fact that they were walking steadily. They were walking and trusting God. He says, I'm rejoicing in this. But he's sending a warning too to say, I don't want you to go astray. I don't want anybody to go astray. I don't want people to miss what it is to walk with God. So he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because I found as a Christian, when I was first saved, I was doing everything I could for Jesus. And I was. And by the grace of God, I hope I still am. But I found that I was determined that I was going to do for Jesus. And I wasn't realizing how much I needed Jesus to do for me. Before you were saved, you could not save yourself. Everybody agrees with that. Before you were saved, you had no ability to be delivered by your own strength or power. It wasn't by your works. It wasn't by your self-effort. It wasn't by what you could do for God. It was by faith. You trusted Christ, and as you trusted Him, He saves you. Is that true? But after you're saved, we can get it in our noggins that somehow, now that I'm saved, here's what God expects me to do, and I've got to get out there and get it done. And so we get out there to try and get it done, and we make a mess of things. Why? Because as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did I get saved? I received Him by faith. How am I going to walk this Christian walk? I'm going to walk it by faith. Remember that faith is dependent on God. It's not God telling me to get out and get stuff done. It's me trusting Him to accomplish that. Every command in the New Testament comes with a caveat. It can only be done by Jesus. Think of that now. You read something that God says for you to do, you need to think about this. That can only be done by Jesus. The smallest command in the New Testament, that can only be done by Jesus. When I understand that, and I don't understand it perfectly, I don't live it perfectly, but when it's Jesus that accomplishes it, then it's really done. And if it's not Jesus that accomplishes it, it's not been done at all. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And so when He says this, He lays a foundation for them. He lays something for them to say this. If you want to live this Christianity, you're going to have to live it the same way that you were saved in the first place, and that is by depending on Jesus Christ. It has got to be Christ in you. It has to be His strength, His power. He's the only source that can enable you to live Christianity. There's a lot of fake Christianity around. And some of us have lived that fake Christianity. You can live it in a day. You can live it in a half an hour. Where... yeah, I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that I'm forgiven, but I'm not living in the Spirit. If I'm not living in the Spirit, then I'm living in the flesh. If I'm living in the flesh, it's nothing but sin. That's all it is. It doesn't matter how good it looks on the outside. I need Jesus. Oh, how I need Jesus. It could change the song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I need Jesus. How I need Him every hour. Lord, I need You. Oh, Lord, I need You. Every hour I need You. It's the truth, friends. And so as Paul begins to bring encouragement to them, as he begins to bring them to the place of loving one another, as he brings to the place where they begin to understand the depth of the mysteries of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in all of its wisdom and in all of its glory, he takes them here. He takes them back to their conversion, and he says to them, now, here's the story. You received Jesus Christ by faith. This is the only way you're going to live Christianity. You see, the false teachers were beginning to bring in and say, you really want to get close to God, you have to stop doing this, 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 this. Start doing this, 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 this. They had their lists of things. It's amazing to me, people who come to me and say, well, are Christians allowed to do this? Or are they not allowed to do this? Is this sin? Is this right? Is this sin? This right? Blah, 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 blah. Whoa. Whoa. There are enough commands in the New Testament. I want to add one more to them than what's already there. Is it wrong for Christians to have a drink? Is it? No. Now, that doesn't mean I encourage people drinking. But is it wrong? So am I going to set a standard up and say, if people are drinking, that's a bad Christian over there? No. No, I'm not going to do that. Because the Bible doesn't. There's enough. And so when I look and I say, what it is my heart sold out to Jesus Christ? And maybe somebody will have a glass of wine at a meal. Let them have a glass of wine. I don't care. But is our heart sold out to Jesus Christ? That's what I care about. That's what I care about. That's my passion. That's my desire. Because I need Christ. And if my Christianity is made up of what I do and I don't do, if that's what I think my Christianity is, it won't last. It will not last. And it's amazed me sometimes when I've dealt with people over the years and found them to be wanting in this area, so much so that there is no real heart. There's no real relationship. There's not a uniting with Jesus Christ. So everything else, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times they go to church or pray or blah, 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 blah. Do you have Christ? Is he the center? Are you living with Jesus? Is he living in you? Are you searching out the knowledge of who he is? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you overflowing with love? Is there reality in your relationship? Because here's what he says. As you received him, so walk by faith. May my next step, Lord, be by faith. May I rise out of bed by faith. May I go about my day by faith. Not just in the great things that people would think, okay, Pierre's got to preach. I got to preach. Oh, God, I need you. And I feel this way, friends. I do. I think, oh, Lord, I need you. I need your Spirit. I need your power. I need your presence, Lord. I dare not get up here and blah, blah, blah myself. What a waste of time it would be. And, you know, the Bible says that those who are teachers receive a greater judgment. A greater judgment is on me because I'm a teacher of the Word of God. That kind of makes me, it makes me think. It makes me realize I need God. Oh, how I need him. But you need him too. You need him if you're changing a diaper. You need him if you're going to school. You need him if you're going to work. You need him if you're going grocery shopping. You need him. You need him when you're washing dishes. You need him every second of your life. There is no time. There is no time to be separate from Jesus Christ. There is no time not to be walking in the Spirit. Because if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. And Paul writes to him, he says, I want to cut through the chase. I want you to understand what's really it's this is all about. I want you to know what Christianity really is. It's Jesus. It's Christ himself in you, that hope of glory being lived out in you as you depend upon him. He says, I got all these guys are giving some false teaching. We're going to get to some of the false teaching that they brought. But before he gets there, he pulls them back. He says, okay. Reset here. This is the answer. As you receive Christ, walk in him. Walk in him. You see what it says? It doesn't say walk for him. Is that what it says? Walk in him. Walk in him. This is walking, and the Bible speaks about walking in the Spirit. That is, my life is not my own anymore. I'm walking in Christ. You know, it's a funny way of saying it. We should just say, Christ is walking in me, right? But we are the ones that are living here. We are the ones that are walking. And so it is Christ in me, and it is me in Christ. It is a union so deep and so rich that he can say, walk in him. And then he uses two terms. One, rooted. Rooted. Rooted in Jesus Christ. Nourished by Christ. That's what roots are for, isn't it? Is to nourish, being nourished by Christ, being fed by the Lord Jesus, that he is the source of your energy. He's the source of your Christianity. He's the source of your life. Nothing else but Jesus, rooted in Christ. He's the source, not you, not your wisdom, not what you do for God again, but him filling your soul, feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, rooted and built up in him. Built up in him. You know, the Bible often uses two illustrations, one about being rooted and the other one him being that foundation, part of the building. So you're built up in Christ. Everything is in Christ. It's not even just Christ is the foundation, and I'm building on the foundation, but I'm being built up in Him. That everything is in Christ. Everything, every moment, every thought, every part of your very being in Jesus. Now you might think, boy, this is an overwhelming task. How do I do this every day? I can't seem to do it for 5 minutes out of a day. How in the world can I live this way? Is this possible? Is this a pipe dream? How can this be real in my experience day by day, hour by hour? It sounds too much. It's like going to the moon, and I can't get there. And I know often we feel a frustration. We say, well, how does this happen? My encouragement to you is this, it happens now. In this second, right now, Jesus, I accept by faith that you're living in me. Right now, I accept by faith that you're thinking for me. Right now, I accept by faith that you, the mighty God, have united yourself to me. I got to accept that it's true in spite of all my failures and faults. That's right. So in this moment, Lord, I'm resting. In this moment, Lord, I accept that you're my all and you're in all. In this moment, Lord, I have a glorious freedom because you are my Lord and you are my Savior. I cannot look back to my past failures and say, hasn't worked in the past, it's not going to work in the future, and I don't feel it right now. Because it's not by you how you feel, it's by faith. Is it true that Jesus Christ lives in you? Is it true that He's more than enough? Is it true that in this moment He can do the walking and the talking and the thinking for you? Well, isn't that awesome? Yeah. Take the moment. Seize this moment, friends. Seize it. Now there will be deeper levels to go. I acknowledge that. And maybe right now, the sense of abiding in Christ, and what you have right now, it may not feel like it's the deepest place you could be. Because I never feel like I'm in the deepest place I can be. But I can say, thank God, that in this moment, Jesus has me. And I have Him. Can you say that? Thank God. This moment. Hallelujah. So He is my life now. And what will happen tomorrow? What will happen when I, in 5 minutes' time, maybe a crisis comes and I get my eyes off of Christ and suddenly I'm not walking in the Spirit again. What can I do about that? Lord, here I am again, broken, unable. Pick me up. I believe by faith I can take the next step and you're doing it in me. I'm walking in Him. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Be rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith. There's an establishment that begins to happen. You begin to grow as you begin to walk. You begin to discover as you put one step, footstep, step, foot in front of the other. You take steps. It's like a baby, right? First steps the baby makes. It's a wild ride, that first step, isn't it? When that baby finally lets go of everything else and go, and then they fall. Like, oh, they took a step, Right? And the excitement grows. Huh? Yeah. It, absolutely, right. So, yeah, are you going to stumble and fall? And listen, I'll tell you, most of us aren't out of diapers yet when it comes to walking with God. Most of us, we're not running, we're stumbling. But God's looking. And loving and calling and wants us to go deeper. Take another step. Okay, you took one. Take another one, right? Take another one and another one. Oh, may the Lord grant you grace and me to begin to walk in Him, to be established in the faith, abounding in it in thanksgiving. This is what you've been taught, Paul says. This is what you've been taught. Did you forget? Come back to it. Do I forget? Every single day I forget to walk in the Spirit. Me, preacher. Oh, every day, God has to keep bringing me back to this. back again and back again. Especially, not long before I find myself failing. It's not long before discouragement overtakes me. It's not long before I lose heart. It's not long before I'm just stumbling. I'm stumbling and I'm overwhelmed and I'm broken. As soon as I get away from Jesus, boy, it just the world piles on top of my head. My own sin piles on top of me. My losses, my inability, my everything just goes crumble. I got no choice but to walk in the Spirit, or I'm a wreck. I don't know about you. But more and more, I'm finding this. The older I've got as a Christian, the more devastated I am if I don't walk with God. I'm shot. I'm done. I'm cooked. But when I trust Him, in the moment, there He is. There He is. Let's go deeper. Let's learn more of what it is to go deeper in Christ. We'll stop there and we'll continue on, because now He begins to speak about some of those false teachings that are coming against them, and they can come against you too. But Jesus Christ has the answers. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for the truth. Bless You, Lord. We will buy the truth and sell it not. Oh God, this week let us grow and go deeper. In spite of every past failure, in spite of every time, Lord, we've heard this message before, and yet, Lord, we found ourselves stumbling. Thank You, Lord, there's always a way back, and that You're calling us back every time, and that You're the patient Father who looks at His children stumbling and just beginning to walk and falling, and yet, Lord, You pick us up, You love us, You hold us, You draw us to Yourself, Lord, and You start us walking again, because that's the kind of God You are. Thank You, Lord, that's encouraging, and we bless Your name for it. In all our weakness, Lord, be our strength. Be everything for us that we cannot be. And that's all of Christianity is wrapped up in You, Lord. It's wrapped up in You, and we give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.